Well, this morning we are looking at the title of Sin, Alienation, and Atonement. And in the context of Christianity, atonement and reconciliation are related but distinct concepts. Atonement refers to the act of making amends for wrongdoing, such as sin involving a sacrifice to satisfy a debt or a penalty. Reconciliation, on the other hand, is the restoration of relationship that has been broken as a result of the sin. In light of reconciliation, God himself is neither reconciled to the world, nor does he reconcile himself to the world. But God has provided for mankind to the world a means by which man can be reconciled to him. The problem or the root cause of humanity's alienation and separation from God is sin. And it has been for a very long time. Since the fall in the garden, since Adam's rebellion against God. When we look at what sin truly is, it's a rebellion against God being God, and God being in authority, and God's plan and God's ways. So, I don't want this to be like a fire and brimstone teaching, but I don't want to pussyfoot around the subject of sin and dealing with it. I'm trying not to look at any particular person as I'm saying this. But, Sarah. No, but sin requires God's judgment. And God's judgment requires God's justice. And God's justice requires payment, compensation, or punishment for the offense of sin. We must remember in all times that God is just and his ways are, his judgments are truth. The punishment or the payment or the compensation for sinning against God, God being the offended party, is death. And the word clearly states that. Clear back in Genesis, in the day that thou eat thereof, dying thou shalt die. And in Adam, sin has been passed on to all mankind. And it wasn't just Adam that sinned. We can probably all raise our hands and say we've done it ourselves. But God has made a way for the Christian. God has made a way for the entire world, should they choose, to be reconciled unto him. See, God is holy. That's who he is. Like the seraphims, their job, what they do all day. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. For us to have that relationship with him and not be alienated from him or separated from him because of sin, God has made a way in his Son, Jesus Christ. See, there's two implementations of God's justice for the offense of sin. The first one we're going to look at is the one that we enjoy in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The second one is for those who reject the provision of reconciliation by the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you would take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. if there's a book in the Bible that lays out Christianity in all its glory, it would be Romans, to see what the Lord Jesus Christ means to us in our life with God. Romans shows the utter depravity of mankind and sin. Romans shows how Jesus Christ is the answer to that. And we're going to look a little bit at that today. Remember, the title was Sin, Alienation, and Atonement. So Romans chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, big caps, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Now we're going to go through and we're going to look at those different words. So if you don't know what that means, it's okay. Propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Jesus Christ died on the cross not for His sins. Jesus Christ's blood, which was shed, was innocent blood. The cost, the penalty of sin is death. And in God's wisdom, He made a way. He had a plan. He had a purpose for the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the justice of God demands a payment. It demands a payment for sin. The payment for sin is death. Call it payment, call it compensation, call it punishment, whatever you want to call it. The justice of God demands that. We will be reading today a verse that says that we have been saved from wrath. We have been saved from wrath. God's wrath. Because God is the offended party in this situation. All sin is offensive to God. But God, by His mercy and by His grace, this salvation that we have, this saving grace that we have, this justice is offered by God to the whole world, to every man, woman, and child. That by accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and confessing Jesus as Lord, whosoever means whosoever that trusts in Jesus Christ and in His atonement, His payment for the penalty of sin and death is saved from the wrath of God, and it's just. God is always just. And you may say, well, How can he get away with that? And we will see from this book of Romans that His plan of salvation is absolutely airtight and it is just. In Romans here, when we look at verse 23, all have sinned. All have sinned in Adam and are guilty by sin, corrupted with the sin, and are condemned to it. And all of us are sinners ourselves by our actual own sins. And we're not alone in this. This is the condition of humanity worldwide. Worldwide. And then in verse 24, it says, being justified freely. That word freely means without a cause. Whose idea was it for us to be justified in Christ Jesus? God's idea. And it was by God's grace. And grace is not earned and grace is not merited. It's a gift. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption, the payment in full. So what kind of redemption do we have? It's a payment in full. How much do we have to pay? It's a payment in full. Liz and I were chatting, as we often do over coffee, and we were talking about the greatness of what God has done in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be just and also to show his love and his mercy and his grace upon us, that Jesus Christ would be the one to pay the penalty that we deserve. And we were saying, well, what has God done for me today? What has God done for us every day? Verse 25, Jesus, talking about Jesus Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Propitiation, that's a pretty big word. Well, that means an expiatory sacrifice. Well, that's a pretty big word. Expiatory. It's a victim that pays the price to appease and to amend for sin. The wrath of God, the just wrath of God. Now it's almost mind-blowing. The just wrath of God, because of the offense of sin, was released and exercised upon his very own Son for us. In his substitutive sacrifice, Jesus Christ bore the payment of sin for the whole entire world. The whole entire world. Verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, when he says at this time, when is that? Right now. Declare at this time, his righteousness, God's righteousness. It's almost ridiculous because we know that that's what God is. To declare God's righteousness, that he, God, might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. To think that the wrath of God was exercised upon his own Son, that we vicariously died with him, through him. Jesus Christ represented all of man. Jesus Christ is called the last Adam, the first Adam, as we'll dwell on next week. The first Adam rebelled against God, knowing that the result would be death. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, the last Adam, obeyed God, knowing that it would cost his own life. Can we hear an amen for our Lord Jesus Christ, huh? Amen. Now, this atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ eliminates the grounds for man's alienation from God. man's separation from God. And that makes us, as Christians, those who have accepted Jesus as Savior, that makes us fit to be reconciled to God. And remember, reconciliation is a reconciliation of relationship with God. Isn't that the heart of everyone, every believer, is to have that relationship with God? And God has provided a way, not by our doing, but by His doing and by the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be, the payment for sin would be paid, that grounds for our separation is no longer. It's taken care of. It's paid in full. That we can have a relationship with God unfettered by sin. Unfettered by sin. Turn your Bibles a couple chapters ahead to chapter 5. This is the foundations of a relationship, the foundations that we have in our relationship with God, how we have been reconciled unto Him because of the atoning sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1, chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we separated from Him anymore? Do we have some grounds for alienation anymore? Why? Because you know who is our peace? Jesus Christ is our peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Beginning of that verse is therefore. And we look back, therefore what? What's written right before it? Therefore. So if we look at the end of chapter 4, and we see about what our Lord did this for us, this wonderful work of salvation. Let's pick it up in verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, talking here about Abraham, not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, the father of believing, the father of faith, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So shall thy seed be. And when was that spoken to Abraham? When he called Abraham out and he said, look up in the sky. Look at this, the night sky. He says, can you declare what this is? Do you know what I'm showing you? And that was the night sky. And according to where Abraham came from, the constellation Barzagar, our modern day Aries, and the names of the stars, specifically the sacrifice of righteousness. Who is the sacrifice of righteousness? Jesus Christ, the Christ, the promised seed, the coming one, the Messiah. That's what he said. Do you see? Can you declare? Can you reckon what I'm showing you? Because if you can, so shall thy seed be. Abraham didn't have a child at that time. Abraham didn't have a child at that time. But from his loins came the sacrifice of righteousness. And Abraham believed in God. And it was counted, it was imputed to him for righteousness. And that's the only way mankind since the fall in the garden is ever going to see righteousness. And it's not the righteousness of their own, but the righteousness of the sacrifice of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we keep going here, he staggered not, verse 20, at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Verse 23, now it, or this, was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. How or why? If we believe on him that raised up Jesus Christ, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, then, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The justice of God demanded a payment for sin. The payment for sin was death. God placed all sin, like we sang today, all sin was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price of death so that justice would be served. And God is just. The plan of salvation that God had, that all mankind, whosoever believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ, is under his work, under his sacrifice, under his atonement unto God. And God was appeased. And appeased is too light of a word. It was taken care of. The grounds for offense that we had that separated mankind from God was now taken care of in his Son, Jesus Christ. As we look through in chapter 5, we're going to see, look in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength. What's another way of saying yet without strength? Weak. If you have no strength, you're very what? You're dead. But you're weak, right? Then, verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet what? Sinners, Christ died for us. On our behalf, Christ died. So first we're called weak, without strength. And then we're called sinners. Much more, verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And we're going to come back to that verse. We've been saved from wrath, God's just wrath. We've been saved through him. Verse 10, for if when we were what? Say it. Enemies. Remember there was a separation? Remember there was an alienation between man and holy God because of sin? And Jesus Christ sacrificed, Jesus Christ paying the penalty for all sin, Adam's, yours and mine, the whole world, because of that. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And the Greek word for this English word atonement really means reconciled. When are we reconciled? When we go to the great beyond? When we die? We're reconciled when? Right now. Now, the Christian, the believer, has been reconciled because of the blood, the shed blood, the death of Jesus Christ. Not just the death, but the shed blood of Jesus Christ. People can die without shed blood. Jesus Christ died shedding his blood for us in sacrifice. He was that expiatory, that propitiation, the sacrificial victim, paying the penalty of death. Remember, the justice of God demands it. Jesus Christ paid it for all the entire world. So we have God's wrath. Verse 9 again, if you take a good look at verse 9, and just sing it in your heart. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Saved from wrath through him. Well, why does there need to be wrath? God's justice demands it. That's the penalty of sin. The wrath of God upon the offense. The penalty has been paid. When we think that the wrath of God was released upon our Lord Jesus Christ because he was taking it, he was receiving it, he was paying it for all of us. And yet, there are still going to be people who will look this gift horse in the mouth and reject that provision that God has made for man. For the penalty to be paid by his son Jesus Christ. They will reject it. And you got to say, what are you new? Why would you reject such a salvation? Why would anyone reject such gift, such grace, such mercy? And yet there are people today who will reject that. There are people today who will reject that. So the penalty for them is not in effect. So there's still wrath to come to fulfill the justice and judgment of God for sin. Like I said earlier, there's two ways God implements this. One is through the Lord Jesus Christ and the payment being made by him, for the wrath of God being exercised upon him in our place, in our stead, substitutively. The other way is God's wrath will be revealed. I'm going to read just a few verses to you for the sake of time. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. John 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But what shall they see? But the wrath of God abideth on him. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things, there's a whole list of evil things, because of these things, the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have rejected God's gift. Those who have rejected this plan of salvation. Those who have rejected letting Jesus Christ pay for their offense. And there will be people who do that. Colossians chapter 5, another list of evil things, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Do you know what God calls the Christian? Children of the obedience. That's what God calls Christians. Children of the obedience. And what obedience was that? Christ's obedience unto death. The children of the disobedience are those who have rejected that. We're going to the book of Revelation. Ooh. Revelation chapter 20. If you're having a hard time finding it, it's at the end of the book. You just got a couple more chapters after this. But I want you to think about these words. And I would really like you to think of this in light of rejoicing that we are Christians and what God has done. Revelation chapter 20. We'll pick it up. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged. Hell meaning what? The grave, right? And they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, what a joy we should have knowing that we have received eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To confess with our mouth in this day, right now, that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, declaring him to be the Son of God, and we know who he is. It's Jesus is. It's him. To know that we're born again. To know that this isn't our future. But the justice of God demands that this wrath be showed. Rejoice in your hearts this day. We have so much to be thankful for, that our Lord Jesus Christ took care, was the atonement, the payment, paid in full for the offense of sin. Well, what about those Old Testament believers there, Jim? Oh, well, what about, what were they doing? Jesus Christ hadn't come yet. Have you ever heard of the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament by the priests, right? The sacrifices and the offerings. Every one of them pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I say this, when you really look at it, it's more than just pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. All those sacrifices, they had the Day of Atonement and the two goats, and all those sacrifices were not just pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were borrowing on the credit of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. For what atonement, limited atonement that they did have in the Old Testament was all borrowed upon the credit of the promise of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So all throughout the Bible, this understanding of the shedding of blood for the atonement for sin is present. And it all culminates with the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we see, yep, man's sin, all men have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. But one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, never sinned, and he stepped up and was sacrificed for our sin. He paid in full. Next week, we'll look, starting with that atonement and this concept of justification of life and the reconciliation in relationship with our Father, the Holy God. Till then, amen.